The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies
from the 90s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie about high school sweethearts that fall in love, throw caution to the wind, and through thick and thin prove that the real champions of love are the billionaires.
The movie that had couples everywhere, getting in huge fights about whether or not they would fuck someone else for $1 million. Short answer, yes they would.
The movie that proves that the only way to get through your insecurities and all the fighting that you have to do about infidelity is to, you know, lie. Lie like you've never lied before.
This is Indecent Proposal on Blockbuster Nostalgia. Hey, blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the movie podcast that is, and really always has been, as far as anyone can tell.
Yeah, for the last, like, 4 years.
About, we're counting down the biggest hit movies of the 1990s?
What? You heard right, 1990s.
Yeah, so as we talked about in our last episode, we have left the cool.
The Reagan years.
Yeah.
We left the cool money grubbing Reagan years.
We left that warm embrace of our delicious 80s.
Yeah.
We said goodbye to. Actually, we haven't said goodbye to anyone because Sly's still here. Schwarzenegger's still here. They're all still here.
It carries over.
It carries over pretty hard. But we are now going to be counting down the top 100 grossing movies of the 1990s one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
Starting with that big number 100.
Yeah. You know this one. Indecent Proposal. Yeah.
Indecent Proposal. We've talked about the filmmaker before. This is Adrian Lin.
Yeah, we've had a couple movies from Adrian Lin. In Flash the 80s. Dance. Flashdance and Fatal Attraction.
Fatal Attraction we talked about as well. He also made 9.5 Weeks and... A couple other movies that we'll talk about.
Unfaithful later, which fits famous, right into all this shit.
Very much into his thing.
He did the Lolita from the early
90s. The Jeremy Irons Lolita. Yeah.
And then one of my favorite movies of all time, Jacob's Ladder.
Oh, that's right. You're a big fan of the original.
I love that movie. Back in 1993, this movie made $106,614,000.
Yeah, so we are already in the 100 million club.
Yeah, which the first movie that we did was Down and Out in Beverly Hills, right?
That was like half that.
Yeah, they did like 60 million.
Yeah.
So it's almost half that. Yeah. So in the 90s, we're already doubled up in the box office income.
Yep. At this point, and this is when really it became like if you don't break that 100 million mark, you are not a blockbuster. You are not a big movie.
Yeah. The 90s was also that when it became the stars led the blockbuster. Like all you needed was Tom Cruise in there and you're breaking 100 million.
Yeah.
The
80s were like that, too, to a large degree.
Like the late 80s. Yeah. But most of the stuff that we covered carried itself through a lot of like hard work and like character development and stuff like that. But eventually, it becomes like Eddie Murphy's in this.
It's making
fucking money. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but the 90s are definitely a very star-driven decade.
Yeah, for sure.
And we got some big stars in this one.
Yeah, I mean, this one, it's Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson. He's fresh off young, of White Man Can't Jump, which was a surprise hit.
Yeah, White Man Can't Jump.
And, of course, he's also in the biggest sitcom of the time.
Cheers,
yeah.
He was a dumb kid in Cheers.
Took over for Coach.
Exactly. Up-and-comer Demi Moore.
Yeah, Demi Moore, who had already been in a couple of movies. She's in that... the one with John Cusack escapes me at the moment, but she's really good in it.
She was the early 90s version of Sandra Bullock, which was late 90s version.
I don't think so at all.
Like cute girl next door type of deal.
You think?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, more. I guess she was down for more, you know, sexy stuff.
Yeah.
She was a little more DTF than Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
Because in the late 90s, it was all PG-13. Early 90s were still NARS.
We're still ours. Yeah.
We're still getting away with a lot of ours. And then, obviously, Rip Torn.
Of course. Rip Torn gets in there.
The third
big lead. Yeah. Oliver Platt, of course.
Billy Connolly.
Billy Connolly. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you know, all those chestnuts. The dad from Rushmore.
Yeah,
Let's not forget that guy.
Love that guy.
Who's kind of like, I mean, let's jump right into it. But one most beautiful man alive, Robert Redford.
Yeah. Old Rob Redford playing the villain? Question mark?
Yeah, playing the biggest piece of shit that I've ever seen in a movie, but getting away with it because he's Robert Redford.
Yep.
Yeah, he's incredible. Yeah. This movie is insane to me now. Like, watching this movie now, he's doing some shit that's like, oh, like, this is not acceptable in any way.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But it also, you kind of brought up a good point, which is if he was, let's say, if he was Rodney Dangerfield from Back to School doing all this.
Right.
Which he also already has the Pauly guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He's actually the same character.
He is pretty much the same character, only he's just not quite as...
Only as Oliver Platt puts it, he's a poonhound.
Yes. Well, I think Rodney was too, but Rodney was that fun-loving, like...
Like cheap hooker poon down.
Yeah, cheap hooker poon down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Robert was just like wrecking lives and shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I always assume, so I'd never seen this movie before.
Yeah. I had seen it, but I was young when I saw it.
Yeah. And I knew the premise, right? You know, just the unus mindus, collective unconsciousness. I kind of knew what this was up with this movie.
This is a thing real quick before you continue. This is a thing we've talked about this before, which is this movie starts with somebody saying like, what if I just offered this person $1 million? And then somebody's like, you should make a movie about that.
Yeah.
It's like, what if the baby could talk? Or what, you know, like right. We talked
it's
about that.
It's a very, very simple premise.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a premise that I'm sure was happening before and certainly has happened since. Not just the, like, the specifically sleeping with the wife, but just the, like, what would you do for X amount of money?
Yeah, exactly.
Or like, how far will you go? Bar.
Yeah.
Delicious, delicious Klondike bar, which I would fucking kill you right now.
So much.
Right now, Francisco.
I mean, there's a whole song jingle about it.
Yeah.
That's
right. But it starts that whole conversation.
It's usually like death-defying stuff, too.
A lot of times, yeah.
Yeah. It's usually like I would be freezing in the thing or whatever, and then you get
the Klondike bar. Yeah.
Yeah.
They probably didn't want to go too dark and were like,
kill your son?
Yeah, exactly.
Abraham,
yeah, exactly. Or I'd cut off my fucking toe and eat it. Yeah, they probably didn't want to go quite that. Although I would do that.
Yeah, I mean, as far as things that I would cut off on my body, toes are number one. Yeah,
yeah.
Toes are number... The big toe is the only one you need for balance. The rest of them are just garbage. Garbage appendixes. We don't need them. What do you need them for?
Yeah.
Even the big toe. I'll figure it out. I'll stuff newspaper in my shoe. It'll be fine.
You'll figure it out. But I mean, this was a game that I at least played all the time, and like, especially in my early 20s and stuff, where we would just be drinking with friends and be like, oh, would you do this for $50,000? You
know,
that kind of shit.
How much money to do this? So the movie starts off with, first of all, two voiceovers, which is a little weird.
Yeah, well, you know, it's got to establish that there are two characters
in
this movie.
But
both Demi Moore and Woody Harrelson.
And Woody Harrelson is like, you know, falling in love. I never thought I'd fall in love. And then Demi Moore is like, they say if you really love something, you let it go. And if it comes back to you, it means it loves you or something. It's just a lot of bullshit stuff. Then we go back and we see them young, which you know they're young because they have stupid haircuts.
That's right, stupid haircuts. And she has giant braces.
Yeah, braces, bangs. And he's got long, stupid hair.
Yep,
and then we jump ahead to he's wearing glasses, which means professionals now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Professionals.
They're working.
They wear glasses. They wear oversized pants and shirts that are far, far too big for them.
They do shit like, we're painting this room together and stupid stuff like that. But it shows you the 10-year difference between long hair Woody Harrelson and glasses Woody
wearing.
Harrelson.
One Crazy Summer was the movie I was thinking with John Cusack, but she was also, of course, in St. Elmo's Fire, which was probably her
Probably the big breakout. Yeah. So then they talk about a recession.
Right. So they're doing well.
Well, she's a real estate agent. He's trying to be an architect.
And as so many people do, they decide to far, far overextend themselves for their dream home.
Yeah. They're going to buy this plot of land. Like that's like on the beach or something ridiculous, or like by the beach, and build a giant house because he's an architect. Also, from the very beginning, it's kind of established that he is a failing architect.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, he's
which is
working,
confusing
but
later.
It's a little weird. Yeah,
it's confusing later, but it's established right away that he's a failing architect, and she's putting him through like school and stuff by doing real estate, but then the market crashes
right
in the mid-80s, I guess.
Yeah, and then he gets fired. She hasn't sold a house in 6 months.
Yeah, so then they can't pay for the house.
That's
so
right.
Then he comes up with the most brilliant. Well, first of all, he borrows $5,000 from his dad.
Makes sense. Yeah. Right? So far,
that makes
sense.
We know he's his dad because he's got overalls on.
That's true.
Yeah. That's how you do a dad.
Yeah.
Without explaining anything. And then he
well, and also there's a voiceover saying, I borrowed $5,000 from my dad.
Yeah. And then that guy gives him $5,000 and he walks away from him.
Should we have a scene with him? I'm not paying another actor. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Dress him up very dad-like.
We get an extra in here for $100. That's it.
Yeah. Actually, the dad character should have come into play at some point. That would have been cool later.
Yeah, I could see that.
But he comes up with a brilliant plan. He's like, all right, I got it. I know what we're going to do.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to take this $5,000. How do you turn? Invest it wisely.
Because they're down $50,000.
They need $50,000 for some reason. That's what they say they need. I don't know why, because they're only 2 months behind on payments.
Also, there's later established that the land is worth like millions of dollars.
I guess that's why it's $25,000 a month. Why? How did they ever think that was going to be an okay situation?
She's a real estate agent. She's a failing architect. Yeah. Like they were just like always thinking 2 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, insane.
He comes up with a brilliant plan that we're going to go to Vegas.
Well, hold on. I guess it doesn't matter.
Now. It doesn't matter. Vegas. Yeah. Vegas.
I was going to go with this whole thing that they were going to wisely invest it.
Yeah, obviously.
Maybe build it up slowly over time and some.
Maybe not extend themselves.
Mutual funds. Yeah. And maybe some wise investments on a, I don't know.
Maybe
small business.
Use a land for like corporate.
Build some offices.
Build some office spaces in there. Something like that. Yeah, nope.
Rent it out.
Nope. He
build
goes
condos.
To awesome mid-90s Vegas.
Yeah, he goes to Vegas.
Yeah.
And, we've all been to Vegas, right?
Yeah.
Right, listeners? You've been to Vegas?
If I know anything, is that if you want to 10 times fold your money.
Super easy. Super easy.
Yep. Vegas is the way to go.
Yeah. Vegas, I always make $45,000
every time I'm in Vegas. Yep. I don't know how they stay in business. I really don't.
It's ridiculous.
It's always, they're just always handing out 10 times the money that you brought in.
Yep. Always. Yep. Every time.
Yeah.
So they go to Vegas, and sure enough, they are winning just left and right.
Yeah. All right. So we're talking about how ridiculous it is that they think they're going to make $50,000, but the first night they make $20,000.
Yeah, they're up to 25.
They five times what they brought in, which is ridiculously unheard of.
Fucking
yeah,
insane. I mean, the only time that happens is if you hit like a giant jackpot.
Well, if luck strikes you with a giant jackpot, but they're not, they're playing craps,
right? They play a little of the slots. They get up a few grand. Probably,
playing
slots, which that in and of itself is like super lucky. Mm-hmm. But yeah, then they're playing craps. In which case, like, I don't know. I guess I've made four times my money in craps before.
Yeah,
so it's possible. But I mean, you're making some big bets.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You have to bankroll
that much money. Yeah.
Then Demi Moore goes and tries on a dress, and who seems to spot her from afar? But one gorgeous, beautiful, I don't know how old he was in this. Like,
he's like 50, maybe. I don't know.
Like mid-50s, early 50s.
Yeah, early 50s probably.
Robert Redford still looking good. He actually, he carries himself well.
Oh yeah,
this fucking guy, man. Eye contact, confidence up the wazoo.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that's the character, but also Robert Redford
brings it.
Has been crushing puss for 30 years
and
at this point, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So he walks up and
he's been
like,
a movie star the whole time too. That's a thing you have to remember about him, is he became a movie star when he was like 22. So
yeah, and like a gorgeous movie star.
Yeah,
very
so the confidence that you have to have at that point where you're like, yeah, of course I'm going to fucking get any woman I want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish he kind of would have played himself. That would have been cool.
He's just Robert Redford
movie star?
Yeah,
he's just Robert Redford movie star. A lot of the what happens in this movie would make more sense.
It would have at least made it. Yeah, that's true, with everyone just crowding around like, oh, did you see that guy?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But he sees her trying on a dress, kind of, and then he's like, let me buy that dress for you because your tits are kind of out, and I'm all about that.
Oh, and they are.
And I heard she's got great breasts, but she's like, nah, be quiet, shut up, you. And then she goes, finds Woody Harrelson.
I mean, I don't know. I've never, I guess, been in a financial position to do that, but that seems crazy.
To just turn it down?
Not to turn it down, but just to like be like, let me buy that dress for you.
That's ridiculous.
The fuck? Get away from me.
This is the thing, we're setting up the Robert Redford character.
He's super creepy.
He's super fucking creepy.
I mean, he's a little much.
He's
a lot much.
like, if you, we were watching this, and I told Eric, I was like, I wish we were watching this with a girl, because I feel like girls would be like, gross. Everything he fucking does, they'd be like, gross.
Yeah, but he's just got that confidence. He's got that
billion
swag.
Dollars.
He's got that billions of dollars.
Yeah. Woody Harrelson is winning. She goes up.
Actually,
Robert Redford spots her kind of and watches her like kiss his dice and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then
here's the thing. In the trivia, it says they had a porn star body double for Robert Redford, but they never have a sex scene.
There was never a sex scene. So I wonder if they shot something.
Did they?
Randy West, who I've met one time.
Yeah, he was a cool guy.
Yeah, he was a very cool guy. It was a little bit weird. He had a dish full of Jolly Ranchers.
Okay, that makes sense so far.
Yeah. And he was signing pictures of himself with his dick out. Also makes sense.
Also, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And like that.
I gotta ask this. Who was getting the most? Was it dudes coming up getting his signature, or was it ladies?
It was dudes. Oh yeah, yeah. It was definitely dudes. Yeah,
so, hey, he's a woodsman. A signed picture of me with a dick out.
There's a reason why only dudes go to fucking Ron Jeremy's bullshit fucking signings. Because it's just, I don't know. We're just paying tribute to the dicks.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're right. There was
I saw you crushing that puss at. Good dick, dude.
Yeah, that was good job. Good job fucking that, bro. Yeah. That's the high five was kind of invented for that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I know you were paying her to do that, but still.
Fun fact, high fives invented for crushing puss.
Yes, no, absolutely.
They were. Yeah, yeah. What do you think it was for, like, winning a fight?
No.
Making good money or no?
No, that's a handshake.
Yeah, exactly. The only reason that, you know, you would win fights or make money is to crush puss. So. Yep. If you can pull it up,
it all comes back.
You get a high five. I do like that this episode is going to have the most crush puss.
Right off the bat.
Yeah, right off the bat. Immediately.
Welcome to the 90s, everybody.
Yep. Yeah. Crushing puss. So then Rob Redford just decides, he's like, you know what? I'm going to... Well, all right. I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but...
He gets super obsessed.
No, they're winning, and then they're hardcore losing.
Right.
Because that's how Vegas works. Because they went from roulette, from craps to roulette.
Right.
Which is the stupidest thing you can do.
Stupidest fucking thing.
Roulette is terrible.
Roulette's all right, but it's no craps.
Yeah, it's no craps. Exactly. Yeah, you're trying to multiply some money. Like, roulette, you got to hit 1 out of 36 numbers. Or
even if you're just playing slots, I get it. Like, you're just hoping for that big jackpot. Mm-hmm.
But no, they
lose. You're just trying to play the odds of, like, I'm going to throw $5,000 into this fucking slot machine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then see, hopefully I hit a payout. Yeah. Yeah. No, they're down to like the last 4,000. They bet it all on red, no black, no red. They lose it all, and they're done.
I mean, this also has, there's several really good cutaways in this movie, but this one is probably my favorite, which is they're in this like kind of shitty diner. They're down to, like you said, like their last $4,000 or whatever, and Demi Moore's like, we said we wouldn't go under the original five and blah 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 blah. And he's
they
like,
flip
let's,
a coin.
Let's flip for it. Just during this conversation, whatever, it cuts to the waitress who's like pouring coffee. And she just has the most, like...
Yeah, she's like 60 years old, and she's seen this shit for the last 50 years.
So many times. She just has this eye roll moment that...
Yeah, like, she's perfect. God.
Perfection.
Also, you mentioned this. They lost all their money except for the 4,000.
Yeah.
Then they go back. They bet it all on the roulette table. The same roulette table with the same dealer. You lost $21,000 with that dealer. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, do not go to that
guy. Go to another casino even.
Somewhere.
No, do not go to the same guy that you lost $20,000 on.
I don't know how it worked in 93 either, though. But nowadays, they change out dealers like... every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So I don't even know how that's possible.
Yeah, are they following this bad luck dealer?
Yeah.
Like, they're going out of their way.
Terrible move.
So then they hear that something big is happening.
Right.
There's a guy that's betting $10,000 chips and losing a shitload of them.
Yeah, they just kind of walk by.
On what game?
Like,
we have no idea.
Oh, this game, who the fuck knows?
I think this is the game. They put two cards down, he looks at them, and then he says, I win or I lose, and then that's it. Then they pay him or they don't.
Yeah.
Because that's how they...
It works on the honor system.
Yeah, yeah. Because that's how they're playing this fucking game. Yeah. No, and it's Robert Redford, and then they're like,
But this scene is so ridiculous, too, because they walk by, and It's not in like an isolated area. There's just people crowded around being like, hey, do you see these fucking rich motherfuckers betting a shit ton of money?
Yeah, like if rich people gambled, will we gamble? Get the fuck out of here, movie.
I mean, yes. Get the fuck out of here, first of all.
Yeah, get out of here, movie. Rich people don't gamble, will we gamble? They have special rooms.
They have special rooms specifically for that.
Yeah, and you can maybe see them from afar, like really far.
But also, why would so many people be like, yeah, this is my day. I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to watch these other people gamble.
Ooh, look at them lose.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, I say that, but I mean, people watch golf and Twitch.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that's true.
People do a lot of stupid fucking shit.
Well, everybody's watching. They come up there watching, and then Woody Harrelson's like, who's that guy? And then Billy Bob Thornton turns around.
Yes.
And he's like, oh, why, that there's the billionaire.
Billy Bob is awesome. And he looks so excited to see him.
He looks so fucking, yeah, it was very fun. It was a good. It was a, one of my favorite parts of this movie.
Yes, actually. For sure.
Yeah, it's he looks super unkept and not very fucking movie like. Yeah,
exactly. Definitely. He has this like 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah,
and he's got an earring.
His hair looks better now than it did then.
Yes,
his hairline is crazy.
Receding hair. And then he's also got like a weird jowl thing going on. Yeah.
He's like fat faced.
Yeah. Well, I think if you remember Tombstone, he's kind of a heavier set guy in Tombstone. Yeah, so yeah, I wonder if this is like in the transition. In the image,
maybe. Yeah. Yeah. But it was a very fun surprise to see.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, he's like, that's the billionaire, John Gage or whatever, who sounds like he's maybe fighting in Mortal Kombat, but right, that's not because they gave him, because again, the 90s was the badass name decade.
That's true. That's true.
Well, you would name your character like, it was always John.
Yeah, usually. A simple American first name.
Yeah, it would be like James Actioner.
Yep. That's what it was.
Yeah, or John Shooter.
Yeah, not like the 80s where we had realistic names like Action Jackson and fucking Schwarzenegger's name in Commando. John Matrix.
John Matrix. Yeah, yep, exactly.
So, you know, regular names. Yeah, Cobretti.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
So you give him that awesome name, John Gage. He immediately spots Demi Moore, and he's like, hey, can you come over here? Can I borrow your wife? And Woody Harrelson's like, ask her. You know, it's cool. He's been a cool guy.
He's been a cool guy. And then he's trying not to, you know, be too possessive.
Yeah, yeah. And she's like, yeah, I guess. And then she goes, bets
$100,000,
loses it immediately on the game of what cards, yes card, no cards.
Yep. Yeah, that's literally all it is. Like, there's no further betting. There's no, like...
He looks at the cards and he's like, nope. And he tosses them and they're like, dealer wins. And I'm like, what happened?
Yeah, what was that?
You don't get, like,
there's
like
no,
a redo?
There's not another round?
There's bidding? No. There's no, like, I want new card? Nothing. Like, we have no idea what they're playing.
Yeah.
Nope.
I don't get it.
And then he takes her to a single crap table where only he's rolling.
At that point, is it just like you show up and the dealer flips a coin, really?
Yeah,
is
pretty
what
much.
It seems like.
No, because the coin flip is the best odds in Vegas.
That's true.
Yeah, you wouldn't do that. That's why Baccarat you pay the dealer.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's ridiculous.
Because he says you need a 9. So is that literally all the game is? Is that 52 cards and you got to hope you get one of the four one nines?
Well, it's Baccarat. But in Baccarat, you're not handling the cards yourself. They're flipping the cards, and you're just betting on whether or not it's going to be closer to 9 or not. But he gets cards in his hand.
They like Texas Hold'em.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like a weird... It's one of those weird fucking...
Yeah, who knows?
It's a weird made-up
game. Vegas
is
a weird fucking place, and it's also probably made up.
Yeah. So then he takes her other crap table.
Well, because he says... Or she says something about, like, oh, she's not really into cards, and... He has he's very charming throughout this movie because he's fucking Robert Redford, but also he has a lot of charming lines. So he gives her that like Robert Redford half smiles. I wish you would have told me that first.
Yeah. Super charming.
And then he's like, how about dice? And she's like, yeah, dice.
Yeah.
Takes so they go to play to the... craps. But and again, rather than going to a high table, they just clear off a table in the middle of the floor.
And he's slumming it with these fucking
and
like,
they're just
scumbags.
Crowded around being like, oh. As he pulls out $1 million in chips.
And then, like, he's playing it by himself, which is the most boring way to play craps.
Yeah, that was no fun.
And the easiest way to lose a lot of money.
Yes. Yeah. I've never done well on an empty craps table.
No. Right? Even, like, 3 people on a craps table. Nope, you're fucking losing
it
like
that. You need, like, 7 people on
that
craps table.
It's like one-on-one blackjack.
Yeah.
You're just going to lose it.
You're just going to lose.
5 times faster.
Yep.
But she rolls a 7. He wins.
Yeah.
$1 million.
He wins
$1 million. At this point,
you're like, well, like hard 8, man. Like, let's get in there.
Yeah,
man.
Exactly.
Let me play all the hard ways. Let me get on 6 and 4. Come on, let's do this shit.
Or like, she's like, all right, where's my tip? Yes. Like Sharon Stone in Casino. She's like, I made a lot of money for you. Yeah. Where's my fucking tip? You know, yeah. I get a percentage.
If he gives her one of those or a couple of those chips, that's their 50 grand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're there. But no, she's like, oh my God. And Warhouse's like, yeah, you won $1 million.
But also, again, no one has in the history of craps has ever rolled once and then been like, I'm good.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's
fucking preposterous.
Especially because it's clearly like a gambling
act. And the whole point of craps is that like you get in on the action, man. Mm-hmm. Like it's not about rolling once. Jesus.
Yeah. They're fucking up craps and baccarat.
Yes.
But then he like he's like, oh, you guys should come up to go stay at a suite.
Yeah, exactly.
He's put like, it under my name.
He's like, so what are you guys doing? They're like, oh, we're leaving. And he's like, nah. You stay here. I got you. I got you. You just made me $1 million. Have a suite for a night.
I'll get it. Yeah, get your own. Also, you should check out the shops. Sign anything under my name. And then I was like, buy 50 grand worth of shit and get the fuck out of Dodge.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then sell that shit for 30 grand and then you're that much closer.
Yeah, you're pretty close.
Yeah. Actually, buy 70 grand.
And then sell it for 50. Yeah. I got you.
But then, so they stay in this super gaudy fucking 90s.
Oh my God, it's the worst. Suite.
Yeah. There's like a big horse head in there.
Yeah.
There's way too much shit on the walls.
Way too much shit.
Yeah, you minimalize that shit. It's bad. It's a lot.
Yeah. It's a nice layout for a room. It's got the big window.
Yeah, it does. It's got the old school. And back in the 90s, the way you showed that you were very rich is you had one giant remote.
Yep.
That you would press a big button and something big would open.
Yes.
Or close. And in this case, it was like the window shades. Or
come down from the ceiling.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Not streamlined anyway. It was a giant remote with AA batteries.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Double D's. Double D's.
Yeah, D batteries. Yeah, exactly. Were those the biggest ones?
Yeah, those are the biggest, yeah.
Fucking, you can kill a man with those things.
Yeah, yeah.
So then,
unless you get the double E's, but you have to go to a plastic surgery for that.
Ha!
Yeah.
Rubber Effort sends her a dress.
She does, yeah. It's the dress.
The one that she was trying on.
And it's also a pretty fucking sexy dress.
It's a very sexy dress. Apparently, it took off in popularity after this movie.
I can see why.
Yeah, because she looks fucking great
in it. She looks great in it. I mean, also, it's Demi Moore.
Obviously, does not send Woody Harrelson a suit.
No.
So he wears his garbage suit.
He's the only guy at this. So he invites him to their room. Everybody's in a tuxedo. Everyone's in a tuxedo because it's this super fancy party, whatever. And yeah, Woody Harrelson's just in his regular, like, tan sports coat.
In this stupid, I'm applying for a job as an architect suit.
Yep.
But then it's this giant party with a lot of rich people and stuff. And then they play pool. And then that's when he comes out.
Swimming pool there, too.
Yeah, his room has a swimming pool.
Yeah, this is his room.
Yeah. We also got introduced to Shackelford.
He's a billionaire. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Shackelford, you may know him as Jason Schwartzman's dad.
In Rushmore.
Yep. He's also in Life Aquatic.
Yeah. He's in a lot of Wes Anderson.
He's a Wes Anderson guy.
He's a great fucking guy.
Yeah.
Dude. Shackelford, also a great name.
Yes.
That's a fucking great. That says rich, but also would fight a guy, probably.
Yeah. And like you said, he's in the Paulie from Back to the School.
From Back to School. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's in that position.
He
does whatever he needs him to do. Yep. Maybe he kills a guy, and he specifically says, He killed the guy once, which is a funny thing to lead with.
Which they're like, and then they just move on.
And then Robert Rivers is like, serious, yeah. He's like, oh, that's Shackelford. He's been with me forever. He killed a man once.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting way to go.
Yep.
But they're still like, nothing's askew.
I do have to tell this story. So I recently moved, and second day I was there, one of the neighbors comes over to be like, hey, welcome to the neighborhood, you know, blah, 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 regular neighbor shit. But 30 seconds into the conversation, he's like, oh, so, you know, welcome. You know, nice to have you as a neighbor. It's a nice place. You know, it's a nice neighborhood, pretty quiet neighborhood. Someone just got killed 6 months behind your house, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Was he like, not me, though. I would never take a human life.
Yeah. Like, anyways, I moved here from New York. You know, don't ask me any questions about my previous life. But yeah, someone got shot.
Somebody who's nothing like me.
Yeah.
Has been shot. And killed. Probably deserved it. Probably.
If the motherfucker would have kept his mouth shut, maybe he wouldn't get shot in an alley. I'm just saying.
But anyway, you know, lesson learned.
Yeah. I'm just saying it's a weird thing to bring up 30 seconds into a conversation.
Exactly. That's exactly what Robert Redford does.
Yeah.
Then they play pool, and then that's when he's like, they're talking about he can buy anything except for people. And he's like, well, maybe I can.
Yeah, I can buy people.
I'll offer you $1 million for Demi Moore. And he's like, what would you say to that? And she's like, he would tell you to go to hell. And then he's like, what would you say, Woody Harrelson? He's like, I told you to go to hell. And he's like, well, that's because it's hypothetical.
What if it's for real?
I am 100% for real. And then he's like, we better get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And they get out of there. And then they can't sleep at night because they're thinking about the $1 million.
Thinking about that mill.
What would you do?
What would I do?
Yeah, what was your call?
Am I Robert Redford in this situation?
No,
or if am you're, I Demi Moore?
You're Woody Harrelson.
Because if I'm Demi Moore, I'm sleeping with that sexy Robert Redford.
What if you're Woody Harrelson?
No,
because this is a thing. Like we talked in the opening. It's the couples. It's a movie that brought it up that made people wonder about it.
Right.
About whether or not you would take $1 million.
Just so you think about it a little bit further, listening audience. In today's money, it's like 1.8.
It's like $1.8 trillion.
Yeah,
adjusted for inflation.
Adjusted for inflation.
Yeah, you're a trillionaire now.
Yeah.
No, it's like it doesn't even double.
It doesn't quite double.
In 28 years, it doesn't double.
Yeah. $1.8 million.
Yeah. Which by now, not a lot. But back then, $1 million was a lot.
Yeah. I mean, even now, $1.8 million, that could change your life pretty substantially.
Yeah. I mean, you could go on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, I guess, and do a lot of studying.
That's
Or
I don't think that show exists anymore.
Yeah, or your wife.
Yeah, or your wife.
So, what would you do? You go for it? $1 million.
$1 million, and I don't know what love is.
Yeah, so. That's true. So no worries.
No worries there.
Yeah, that's true. I would do it for like 5 tattoos.
Actually,
like it's a tattoo artist. Yeah. It's like I'll fuck your wife. And I'll give you like five full tattoos.
You're like, all right, full back though. One of them's full back.
I'll go full back. I'm like, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that. Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense. See, it almost works out perfectly for him. Not to skip ahead too much, but he almost gets $1 million, the dog, the house.
Yeah, actually.
A new relationship
with a
younger, sexier lady.
Yeah,
one would assume. Because now he has $1 million.
If it wasn't for stupid love.
Yeah. Well,
he's fucking sitting pretty, dude. Yeah. Yeah, god damn it.
Anyway, so they're sitting there, they're arguing. They're not really arguing about it, but they're stewing.
But you would take $1 million?
Sure, why not? I don't know.
I would take $1 million.
Yeah.
I would. Realistically, I would 100% be like... No, actually, we talked about this when we were watching it, is that I would be like, make it $2 million, and we got a deal. Because if he says no, then I'm like, I was just kidding. I mean, if he says yes, then I'm like, I got that motherfucker to double up. Yeah. Winning the haggle is half of the fun. So.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to mention that at the beginning, is having not seen this movie, I always assumed Robert Redford, he didn't care about Demi Moore. I thought he was just like, it was all the power game, right?
Yeah.
It was all just like, I'm going to fuck with these fucking normal, poor motherfuckers.
That is the thing.
It kind of.
But then that should have been the thing.
That should have been the
thing. They fuck it up. Anyway.
But yeah, I thought it was like a fucking Trading Places thing where he was just like, it was like him and, I don't know, who would have been like his rich counterpart at the time.
Newman, obviously.
Oh, obviously Newman. Yeah.
Yeah, Paul
it's
Newman.
Just him and Newman betting on how many women they can fuck $1 million, or how many relationships they can break
Which
up.
I feel like that's a real thing that the actual actors
I'm
did.
I'm sure they
a
did.
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, betting on which... What a better movie this would have been if it was just Paul Newman and Robert Redford breaking
betting?
Up marriages.
Yeah.
Just dirty, rotten scoundreling left and right. Yeah.
Just betting who could fuck who.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, much better movie.
Much better movie. Plus, then you get Paul Newman.
Yeah, then we get some Paul Newman in there, which is fucking great.
Fucking great.
Yeah. Oh, man, anytime Paul Newman is fucking great.
Yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah. They're sitting up all night, and then she's like,
I think I should do it.
I think I should do it.
I think I should do it for you, for the house. We need the money, blah, blah, blah. I think I should do it. It's just sex. We've both had sex with other people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's a flirty little scene.
Yeah.
It's a cute little scene, I should say, where they're like...
Although it would have been really funny if he was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You super
fucking whore. that happens later. That happens later.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But yeah, you're right. She's like, I'll do it for us and for you and stuff. And he's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, you know what? That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. He doesn't fight too hard.
No, he doesn't fight
once she's on board, he's like, oh, okay.
If that's what you want. I mean, if you want that. Then, I don't want that.
This is the funniest thing about it, though, is, to me at least, is that once they've agreed to the terms, they're like, well, obviously, we got to get our lawyer to draw up a contract. He's going to take 5% of the profits.
Because my thought was, you were going to be like, yeah, you know what? We'll do it. And Robert Redford's going to be like, I told you I could buy you.
Yeah,
and then
that's
it. And then he just gets in his helicopter and leaves.
Yeah, yeah. The whole time I was expecting at any moment for him to just... And we talk about this later, like when she comes over to his house, just being like, all right, get in the room with the other bitches.
Yeah, exactly. Like, okay, I'm really glad you chose this. Anyway, get in the fucking room with the bitches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, again, like, we wanted this. I was expecting this movie to be a little more subversive.
I wanted this movie to not suck Robert Redford's dick so hard.
Yes.
Because it does that.
It does. Lot. It basically presents him as this champion of love.
And he is the worst fucking human being that I've seen in a long time. And
it ends in, like, kind of a much more saccharine way than I would have thought.
Oh, the ending was infuriating.
The ending's pretty bad. We'll get there.
But anyway, so then they call Oliver Platt.
Yep.
We've talked about this before. I think we made a lot of AIDS accusations. I want to pull back on that. I'm sorry. I want to apologize to Oliver Platt. I did at the time say that I will never apologize to Oliver Platt in that episode.
You made a very big stink about it.
Yeah, I also said that he could come after me. I did not give a fuck.
Yeah.
But now. But
then he came after you and you gave a fuck.
And I give a fuck now. His lawyers are very aggressive.
Yes.
They're taking a lot out of me. And I can't handle that anymore. And I've issued many apologies. And I just wish Oliver Platt would accept one of those publicly. Instead of continually to destroy me, many times over, I'm pleading here. I'm pleading.
Yeah.
But anyway, my very
I hope he listens.
Very hero,
the great
Oliver Platt plays their lawyer.
Yeah.
And he drafts up this contract where they get $1 million. He takes 5%, which is also awesome that he takes 5% of that.
This whole scene off is of this really fucking, good and funny.
Yeah, it is.
Because Woody Harrelson calls him up. They're also like good friends. Mm-hmm. Woody
Harrelson calls they're like best friends, which is weird.
Yeah. And is like, I'm getting $1 million. And he's like, you're getting $1 million, right? It's like, no, I met John Gacy.
Gage. John Wayne Gacy.
John Wayne Gacy.
A serial killer.
He's going to murder us all. I met John Gage. He's giving me $1 million for a night with Diane. And he's like, wait, what?
You're Diane?
And also, he's on speakerphone with two other guys. And he's like,
Yeah. And they're trying to figure out if he's going to be their lawyer. And they're like, no, we want you.
Well, because the reason they say that is at the moment that he's like, all right, well, first of all.
Well, how dare you negotiate
without me?
I would have gotten $2 million. $2 million. Yeah, exactly.
And they're like, this is our guy. Yeah. And so then he sits down and is like, all right, let's get emotions. Let's put our emotions and our like false sense of outrage aside. I'm getting 5%.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then he drafts up this contract where he's like, in the event that you can't get hard.
Right.
In the event that you die halfway through coitus. Like all that
Robert
stuff.
Robert Redford's just smirking the whole time. Like, come on, I'm Robert Redford. I'm like hard 24/7.
Yeah, he's like, I'm fucking bitches left and right. Like, I'm fucking a bitch right now. Like, I'm having sex with a girl.
Under this fucking desk right now blowing me.
This is, exactly.
It's like the fucking scene from Police Academy.
Yeah.
I got Steve Gutenberg and a prostitute down there.
Steve Gutenberg prostitute is down there, and I'm going to look down, and I'm going to be hilariously shocked when I see the goots looking up at me.
Yeah.
But he knows, which is part of the fun. You know, it's a funny part. They accept to it. She goes with him.
Right.
They get in the helicopter, and that's when Woody Harrelson's like, I changed my mind.
Runs after them.
I changed my mind, runs after them. They're gone.
They're gone.
And then instead of doing what I thought would be the right thing to do, which is immediately go have sex with a prostitute. because
turnabout's
gotta, exactly. You got to do it.
Equals out.
It's the only way you're going to make it out of this, man.
Yep.
Like, it's the only way. No, he goes and he just sits in the fucking room waiting for her and doing that
opening
closing thing, which we saw in Fatal Attraction.
Doesn't
doing
even
that
get drunk.
Clicking thing.
That's true. Nah.
No, he should have immediately gotten very drunk.
Yeah.
But we see that he takes her to a yacht.
Takes her to a yacht. Nice yacht.
Yeah, where
everybody on the yacht kind of knows what's up and is giving her these looks like,
He's a poonhound, man. Yeah. He's a poonhound, this guy.
Yeah.
Again, quoting my very, very good friend, Oliver Platt.
Yep. I mean, personal hero, really.
My personal hero. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Again, you know, just sending out some good vibes to that guy. Please call off your lawyers. They're very hurtful.
They've taken, as well as the literal dogs that have gnawed on him many times.
They've taken everything I have.
Yeah.
He is out there waiting for her to show up. He's very charming. Right,
he also does that thing that only really works in movies where he's just standing, staring out at something, waiting for her to show up where he can look cool.
Exactly. When she shows up, he knows that she's there.
Yeah. And so he can turn around.
And he comments on it.
And I always want to know, like, where's the hour of him just standing there being like, is she there yet? Is she there yet?
Yeah.
Like, every once in a while, he's like, yes, the stars look beautiful tonight. And then he turns around like, God damn it.
It's a fucking server.
Some nonsense.
But she comes up finally. He finally, after hours of staring out into the stars, comes out. He works his charm. He's like controlling the lights and weird shit like that. He also tells her that he bought her. He kind of makes the assumption that he bought her, and she's like, you can't buy me.
You're not
buying me. This is just...
It's just sex.
It's just sex. And he's like, well, if you were mine, I would never let you go on, which is a bullshit thing. Yeah.
Again, I thought the whole time he's just trying to like fucking destroy them. He's just needling. He's just needling. Because he didn't need to bring that up, right? They're in the middle of this whole thing. He didn't need to bring that up. But he didn't have to needle.
Exactly. Everything he does seems like a piece of shit.
At that point, you're just like, yeah, this guy's just fucking with these people. Yep.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Then he gets out a coin and he's like, tell you what, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. If I flip tails,
we'll bet for it. Yeah.
We'll bet for it. Tails, we have sex. Heads, we head back. No harm done.
Yep.
Flips it, tails. Cut to Woody Harrelson waiting. Yep. We don't know what happened. He doesn't know what happened. It's actually
the
a very good
moment in the movie.
Yeah.
Because the most brilliant thing, just cut.
It's the best directed part, the best edited part. Yeah. Yeah, it really is. We don't get to see what happened because Woody Harrelson doesn't get to see what happened. And it's all in his fucking head.
We also don't get to see Robert Redford's enormous dick penetrating Demi Moore. But,
yeah.
You know, exactly. Sacrifices must be made sometimes.
I was kind of looking forward to a sex scene.
Yeah.
Well, you were too. We don't get to see that. She shows up. He stands up. They hug. And she starts crying. First of all, this is my thing. First of all, the best thing that she could have done is walk up to him and say, you couldn't get it up.
Yep.
That's all you have to do is that one lie. That one lie,
and everybody's happy. And then you just got to fucking stick to that lie.
Yeah.
You got to stick to that lie like it's a fucking life raft and you're in the middle of the goddamn ocean.
Because it really is. And they came up with a stupid fucking idea where they would just not talk about it, which is the worst possible fucking thing you can do in this situation. You can't just not talk about it because it'll sit there and just fester for the rest of your fucking life. You gotta say something. If it was my situation and it was Demi Moore, I would 100% want Demi Moore to just lie straight in my face and say, we didn't have sex.
Yeah.
Come up and say, we didn't have sex. And I would be like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's it. And then, you know, just a little bit of elaboration. Like, he started to kiss me a lot, but I wasn't into it. So then he wasn't into it. He went into the other room. He came back. He was hard for a second. And then it went away.
Yeah.
And then he got embarrassed. And he said, let's try again in a couple hours. And he fell asleep. And then we woke up in the morning.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm sure it's happened to me more like 8 times already. By this point in her life.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure it's happened to women that much. But that's all she had to do.
Yeah.
But instead.
He's an older guy, you know.
Yeah.
It's not a complete stretch to think.
No, it's not. This is like pre-Viagra.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it's a very believable. And so, Woody Harrelson, that's all Woody needed.
That's all he needed.
That's all he needed.
Yeah.
But he doesn't get that.
He does not get that.
He instead gets the we're not going to talk about it shit.
Yep.
Which immediately starts to burn him from the fucking inside.
Destroy him.
Yeah. Every little thing is him being like, are you fucking talking to him?
Yeah.
Where is this from? Like, what the fuck? And, like, he finds these matches and he's like, what is a griffin? And she's like, oh, it's a yacht. He took you to a fucking yacht?
Yeah.
What the fuck is that? Like, he immediately loses his mind.
Destroying him. And this is the part of the movie I was like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, like.
All right, movie.
Yeah, the movie's leading us on a path that I'm on board with.
Psychological twirl into despair. I get it. I'm into it.
Yeah, exactly.
Just eating away, the unknown eating away at him.
Because obviously all this shit's just coming up now because he's been thinking about it the whole time and because she refused to lie to him.
Right.
Like she should have. Like any
good
loving
wife should.
Like any loving wife would, goddammit.
Yeah.
It's just for the better for all of us.
Right. Yeah.
But no, instead, he's losing his fucking mind. She starts to lose her mind. So she decides, you know what? I'm going to take that $1 million. I'm going to buy that land that we lost because they...
That'll make him happy.
They defaulted on the loan, so they lost.
This is another thing that happens. They go to pay off their... Are they not even... I don't know if the payoff or just catch up on payments.
No, he said paid off. He was trying to pay it off.
Whatever. Yeah. Well, he says he'd like to take... I don't know. But
he says to settle it,
I think. But they're like, oh, no, you were 2 months behind, so we sold it to someone else. And they're like, well, without notification, it's like, well, you know, we tried to reach you once.
You guys were in Vegas, apparently.
You guys were in Vegas, so you're fucked. Which, I don't know how foreclosure worked in California in 1993, but as someone that worked for a mortgage company in the last decade.
Yeah.
That ain't how that works.
Yeah, California is super lenient about that shit. Yeah. They wouldn't just be like, nope, it's somebody else's now.
Yeah, that would not fly. So that may be the movie kind of stretching reality.
Yeah.
Just a bit.
Yeah, just a little. Just a tidbit. That's the only part, though. Everything else is very realistic.
Yeah. Yeah, everything else.
Well, in that, everybody's a garbage
person.
That's true. So she goes to try to find out, to buy the land back from whoever bought it, finds out it was fucking Gage.
Of course it was.
This is where the movie could have taken that awesome turn in the Fatal Attraction style, where this is a very dangerous person that you've now
very made dangerous. A deal with he the devil. He is now obsessed.
Yeah. Oliver Platt says, you made a deal with the devil. That's what happens.
Yeah.
And this was a setup. All that is set up for... But it's almost like Robert Redford's like, I'm not being that guy.
Yeah.
Like, rewrite that shit. I'm not doing that.
For that shit.
Yeah.
Robert Redford.
It's like Stallone read a script where he dies and he's like, well, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Don't be ridiculous. I don't die in movies.
Come on.
Just live on forever.
Has Stallone ever died in a movie?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't die in movies. I don't think
he ever has, right?
That's part of his contract, right?
Wow.
He cannot die in a movie.
It's wow.
It's like a Macbeth, or we cannot be killed by a man born a woman.
See the Witch King?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a prophecy. What is
the ring wraiths?
Prophecy, dude. You cannot be killed by a man. Yeah, Stallone. I don't think Stallone has ever died in a movie.
I don't think Stallone has ever died. Has Schwarzenegger?
Yeah, man. These guys just don't
Action
die.
Action stars just don't die. Not in the 80s, at least.
Even in the most obvious way to kill Rambo, which was the last Rambo. Yeah. Yeah, he's still like, nah, how about I just jump on a horse and ride away?
Yep.
Because or even like in my contract.
We talked about like either Creed 2 or Creed 3, you got to kill Stallone.
He will not do it, man.
He won't do it.
He just won't be in the third Creed.
No, he's not. He's not going to be. Yeah, he's already said. Yeah.
He's like, I'm not going to die. Fuck you guys. Yeah. It's in my contract, dude. I don't die.
I'm fucking Stallone. Yeah. Live forever.
Besides, maybe I want to do another Rocky. You don't know.
You don't know.
Maybe I want to do 85-year-old Rocky.
Yeah.
I don't know that. Yeah.
I don't know.
I forgot where we were on this.
Robert Redford's not doing that shit where he's like an abusive, crazy stalker, murderer guy.
Which he should be. This is a point where it should have gotten Fatal Attraction, where now they're dealing with a crazy billionaire.
And there's so many ways to go with this, because, you could really just stick with Woody and Demi as they both just like their paranoia and their mistrust and their... They just completely drive each other insane. Yeah,
and then until their relationship falls apart.
Yes, exactly.
And then that's the movie.
Yeah. Or, you can play up Robert Redford, the billionaire man with no limits who's now obsessed with her and won't let her go, even though she just wants to be with Woody. And
which is exactly what happens in this movie.
But they've let him... Kind of.
Yeah.
But they play it off because Robert Redford's like charming and fun and rich and handsome and
She goes, she finds out it's him, she blows up at him, and then he's like, hey, you know what? You didn't jump on that deal. That's on you. That's not on me.
Yeah.
You told me about that land, and I liked it, whatever. He's being a piece of shit. She goes back to Woody Harrelson.
She's like, I hate you. She's like, no, you wish you
liked me. Yeah, you know you like me.
Yeah.
She goes back home. You like that
dick.
And then, Woody Harrelson is like, what were you doing today? And she's like, I was with that dick.
Yeah, so first of all, Demi Moore, again, not only can she not lie, she can't even tell the truth right.
Yeah, exactly.
What you have to say is like, well, I went to see my friend to find out who bought our land because I really wanted to buy it back. Turns out it was that fucking asshole.
Yeah, the fucking asshole. Yeah. Can you believe that shit?
Can you believe this shit? That's why I bought a bottle of wine because I'm so mad at this bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. Instead, she's like, I was with Gage.
Yeah.
So he breaks the bottle. It's a ridiculous way to start your fucking stupid conversation.
So stupid.
Yeah. So then he flips out. He bounces out. She leaves.
Some fucking, I Love Lucy sitcom level of misunderstanding.
Yeah,
bullshit.
Exactly. Yeah. This is a point where everybody is just a fucking garbage person. Because here's what happens. And when I was watching it, I was like, fuck all these people.
Yeah.
Because she goes and they are split up now. She goes, she gets a job teaching. She's still doing real estate. He shows up and he's I need somebody to show me houses. And she's like, I don't want to do it. And Rip Torn, God bless his heart. He shows up and he's like, you got to do it because if not, you're fired. So she has to show him around. He's being super creepy with her, super obsessive and harassing her. Takes her to his house, which is, again, a power thing, harassing her. And she's like, you need a fucking life. You need furniture and dogs and shit in here.
Is weird. How does his house not have furniture?
It's because he's a crazy person.
Yeah, that's true. He probably just bought it just to impress her.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then she's teaching a class to immigrants.
Yep, like an English class or something?
Yeah, it's a citizenship.
Yeah, you're right. It's a citizenship
test. He shows up to that, and the immigrants are like, hey, look at this romantic gesture. And yeah. I'm like, leave her alone, you piece of shit.
Yeah, well, they all seem to know who he is.
Yeah, well, no, they're all like he's a very... Because he shows up in the Mercedes.
Yeah, that's true.
And,
you know, immigrants.
There's a Spanish part in there where the guy from Cuba is like, he's either a drug dealer or the president.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But then everybody's like, oh, look how charming he's being.
Yeah.
Look how cute he's being. And it's very disturbing.
Yep.
So
he's being cute and charming, if not for the fact that he paid $1 million to sleep with another man's wife and now he won't leave her alone.
He won't leave her alone despite how many times she's told him. Like, it's very creepy. And he's harassing her for real.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Woody's living with Oliver Platt at first, and then he's just living with the dog in some place.
With $1 million.
With $1 million.
Which a win.
Yeah,
win,
dog and $1 million, man.
That you're never gonna be lonely. You got the dog.
Yeah,
you got $1 million. You can do whatever you want.
That's right.
And then what does she do? She starts fucking dating Robert Redford.
Yep.
So this is a point again, garbage people through and through.
Yeah.
First of all, Woody Harrelson getting mad at her for shit that's not her fault.
Yep.
Because they both agreed to it.
Yep.
Garbage person.
Yeah.
Robert Redford being a creep and harassing her and using his money to take advantage of her. Fucking piece of shit garbage person.
Yeah.
And then her going and dating Robert Redford.
After garbage all of person. That, ridiculous.
Yep, garbage person.
Yeah.
And at this point, I'm like, I'm out on these guys.
Yep.
The only one I like is Shackelford.
Yeah.
And the dog. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all. Actually, I love her. Oliver Platt. Platt's good.
Oliver Platt's good.
Yeah. Oliver Platt's good. But that's it. Like, everybody else is a garbage person. It's awful. They suck. But then she...
I also do really like the character of the one pit boss in Vegas who gets... Like super upset when they win $1 million, even though it's not his money and it doesn't matter at all to him.
Yeah, no, he like crushes the cup.
And Robert Redford had just lost $1 million like 5 minutes before that.
Yeah, but he's like, God damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if casino people cared about how much fucking money they're winning and losing at the casino. Yeah.
They know. They know how it works.
It's not like they take your wages away if you lose $1 million.
If anything, that guy should be excited because, you know, tips are coming.
Also, he was super sweaty. Like, they really played up that.
Yeah.
He's very nervous about this.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Like, Lawrence Fishburne is going to beat the fuck out of him in the back.
Yeah, exactly.
If he loses $1 million.
Should have rigged that one.
Yeah. Woody Harrelson decides to pick up his life and be like, you know what? I'm gonna go be an architect like I always wanted to.
Yeah. He shows up. First of all, he shows up drunk and, like, accosts them on the street.
Yeah.
But then, yes, after that drunken night, he's like...
Also, Demi Moore stays with Robert Redford that night.
Yep. Yeah. Well, but your boy, the driver...
Yeah. Shackelford takes him home.
Thank you. Yeah, takes him home.
Takes him home and looks at the pictures that...
Good guy.
Woody Harrelson tore up these pictures and then...
Taped
them back together, including one of a hippopotamus, which is weird.
Which is weird, because, but comes into play.
Because...
They're trying to foreshadow it.
Yeah, they really foreshadow.
They foreshadow the hell out of it and it makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
Yeah.
He's looking at pictures and there's a picture of a hippopotamus and then it cuts to shots of like violent hippopotamus stuff.
Right. And it cuts from that to them looking at a hippopotamus in the zoo.
Yeah.
And then being like, we're having a great day at the zoo.
I was like, is this going to be one of those things where like their son was eaten by a hippopotamus and we had no idea?
That would be crazy.
That would be fucking great.
Yeah. Again, so many avenues for
improvement. Oh my God. How awesome would it be if like the whole time we don't know that they had a son?
And that's been the underlying thing the whole time.
And it was eaten by a hippopotamus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, it's just
like
thing the day they had at the zoo once.
Just a thing that they needed to put in there for the ending.
Yep.
Shackelford drops him off. He sees that. He gets a shot too where he's like, ridiculous, these guys.
Like, fucking ruining their lives.
As usual, per usual.
Per usual.
It's fine. Then he goes and he applies to get a job.
And again, the whole time they're setting the audience up for like, Redford's just fucking with these people.
Yeah. He's like a bad guy and he's tearing them apart on purpose.
Yeah.
He applies to be an architect again and they're like, you overqualified. And then I was like, all right, I'm confused because it feels like in the beginning.
He was not doing well.
He was not doing well at all. And also like failing.
Yeah.
And he's got this book full of buildings.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where are these buildings at? Like,
yeah. And like, he's like, oh, you were the first in your class and blah, 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 blah.
I was like, are you sure? Because his wife was selling houses because he couldn't get a fucking job.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Now he's overqualified. Now he's
Well, and then for some reason, he goes from, it seems like he's trying to get a job as an architect to now he's teaching.
Architecture. And it's a pretty good little speech he gives
it is,
about
it
a
is.
Brick.
About
and,
a brick. That whole scene is actually, it's solid.
Yeah,
very solid.
It's good, very solid.
Good Woody.
It ends with him getting served divorce papers.
Yep.
And then that's when...
But Oliver Platt even tells him, he's like, hey, if you don't fight it, you get the million, you get the house, you get the dog, you get everything.
Which is, again...
Which, why would she care? She's dating a billionaire.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's got 100 times that. No, yeah, million. A million times that. A thousand times
yeah, that. We'll get there eventually. We know math.
400 million times that, 1 million yep. is what he owns. Yeah.
Yep. Well, we don't know, actually, because... We don't, like, you can be a billionaire, I suppose, at $1
billion. Technically.
Or you can be like Jeff Bezos and have like $200 billion or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, have more money than most countries will ever. Exactly. Yeah,
exactly. So, you know, there's a range.
Yeah.
Do you think that Jeff Bezos ever sees, like, he's at like a restaurant and he sees some dude worth like $9 billion and he's like, get this fucking poor beggar motherfucker out of my restaurant. I'm not going to eat in the place with some guy that only has $9 billion. This poor motherfucker.
Yeah, what are the poor people eating at that table? I think he sees women that are worth $1 billion, and he's like, oh, I can sleep with her probably for, you know, $10
billion. Yeah, exactly. Well, this is something we mentioned, too, is like, because a million, when you talk to a normal person... The idea of paying $1 million just to fuck a lady.
Just sleep with a woman. No matter how beautiful.
No matter how beautiful. Is like insane. So I asked you while we were watching, how rich would you have to be to spend $1 million on a lady?
Right. I said I would have to have at least $500 million. Uh-huh. Because right now I have $5,000 in my savings account and I would pay $100 to have sex with a hooker.
Which, when you think about it like that.
Yeah. It's percentages.
Yeah, it's all percentages.
It's all the percentages. So if I had $500 million, $1 million.
Which, that's not even a billionaire. No. If you're once you're at a billionaire, it's basically like spending $50.
Yeah, it really is. It's exactly that.
Yeah.
And then also, we were talking about that. Look, I referenced making $1 million, losing $1 million every day.
Every day. Every day. So, millions ups, millions down. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter at all to him. So it makes sense to me. But it's such a funny thing, especially now that rich people are really rich.
Yeah.
That back in the 90s, you would be like, my God, $1 million? Somebody paid for that?
Yeah.
Now it would be like, yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'd be surprised if you're not paying $1 million for your hookers. God damn it, you're a fucking billionaire.
You're a fucking billionaire, yeah. Yeah.
Stop cheaping around, dude. Pay $1 million for a hooker.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you can have it however you want.
I mean, I do remember even hearing, this was a few years back, but there was some like bust on a New York prostitute ring.
Oh, yeah.
Where they were making like, what, $50,000 an hour or something crazy that. Yeah. And I remember thinking like, Jesus, that is just.
That's a crazy amount.
Such a fucking insane amount of money.
But if you're worth $1 billion, that's fucking nothing.
Yeah, it's fucking chump change.
Yeah. Again, like you said, it's like $50.
Yeah.
It's like paying $50 for a prostitute.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Speaking of the Woody Harrelson, I did want to mention some of the people that were up for that part.
Oh, yeah. So both parts had some interesting folks, but hit us with Woody.
Woody had John Cusack. Well, actually, supposedly it was written for Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman.
And Nicole Kidman, yeah. Actual married people would eventually do a weird sex movie with Stanley Kubrick.
Yep, eventually. Yeah. Eyes Wide Shut. John Cusack, Charlie Sheen.
Which had worked with Demi Moore before. Charlie Sheen.
Would have been fucking awesome.
Yeah, I can see that too.
Tim Robbins would have been good too. Tim Robbins would bring this like sad face.
Yeah, very sad. Very sad man.
Johnny Depp. Supposedly Val Kilmer, and the most surprising one of all, good old William Baldwin.
Not Alec.
No, because Alec.
Really?
Yeah, interesting, right? Billy Baldwin. That's a weird one,
they
right?
They know Alec exists, yeah, right? Like, right? They know that there's a better Baldwin.
This is actually like good Baldwin. The Alec Baldwin at this point is kind of like in the Thriller.
No, this is Shadow era Alec Baldwin. This is like super handsome.
Yeah.
Fucking like leading man Alec Baldwin. This is Hunt for Red October Alec Baldwin.
Yep, not him. They went with Billy Baldwin. Was he in Sliver? Was he in one of the other ones? Was he in like Sex, Lies, and Videotape?
Oh, you might be right.
I think it was in Sex, Lies, and Videotape, right? So maybe that's why.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I do know there were some other rumors. Like you said, Nicole Kidman for the Demi Moore role. Sophia Marceau, who plays, I believe I'm probably mispronouncing that. I'm sorry. But she's from Braveheart. You might know her. She's the French princess.
Yeah. No,
she's in that David Spade movie.
Yeah.
It's not very good.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That would have been cool. She would have been cool, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, Demi Moore is pretty perfect.
Is pretty perfect in this. Also does get naked, which we did not know.
Which was because I don't remember when I saw it when I was a kid. But also, there was such a big deal about striptease when striptease came out.
Yeah.
And they're like, Demi Moore's a stripper. She's going to get naked. And I remember... Hearing,
and
like,
she actually does. Yeah, unlike Hustlers, where all of the main girls are like, nah, though, we're not going to.
I mean, did you see that? Did you see that opening dance sequence with J-Lo?
It's not naked.
It's pretty good, though. Not naked. Yeah, you're right. But yeah, she shows her boobs in that. And they made such a big deal that I was like, I don't think she shows boobs in this. Because why would they make such a big deal for such a shitty movie when she shows boobs? When there's this shitty movie that she shows boobs in. Yeah. When she's younger and there's no Burt Reynolds in it.
Yeah.
Actually, that's Burt Reynolds should have been the Robert Redford part. That would have been cool.
Oh, that would have been good.
Now that's a bad guy.
Yeah.
In this part. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some nudity. It was good. It was cool to see.
Right off the top, too.
And we were really expecting some Robert Redford nudity, but no such luck.
Oh, so, no such luck. Speaking, though, of like the sex thrillers, right?
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about how this director.
Yeah, he did Fatal Attraction.
All this stuff.
Unfaithful and stuff. Yeah.
Right, so Unfaithful was his last movie. And that was 2002. So we're talking 18 years ago. Yeah. Adrian Lin's last movie, Unfaithful. So just checking the IMDb because I was like, wait, did he pass away? Or
I thought he did.
Yeah, I was like, why hasn't he made a movie in 18 years? Because, you know, he's going pretty good clip. I mean, Unfaithful wasn't a...
All of his movies were at the very least... successful after Fatal Attraction, they were all successful all made
money,
movies, yeah.
Right?
Even though the ones that were bad, they were successful.
He does have an upcoming project that is scheduled to be released this year, and you're like, oh, so it's like some direct to video like garbage movie that he just finally put out. No, this is a big budget movie with Ben Affleck and Anna de Armas, his girlfriend, you know, the girl from Blade Runner and Knives Out.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah, very much so. And it's a sex thriller.
Yeah.
So which still... is a movie that they don't, that's not a genre that we make anymore.
No, he's going for it, man.
Yeah.
Now you do the double back, like the Gone Girl type of.
Yeah. Where it's all like a, it's not even really a deconstruction, but it's like a twist on
the
sex
it's all
thriller.
Twists and twists. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see how it is.
We'll see how it goes.
But he's like, he's like the Terrence Malick of sex thrillers. Like he just waits 20 years to make another movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, when everybody's waiting, everybody's salivating for sex thrillers nowadays.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's what
we
want.
Where else are we going to get nudity?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is the world that sex thrillers should exist in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then, what happens? But Woody Harrelson is like, you know what? Am I getting a divorce? What's happening? Robert Redford and Demi Moore go to this big gala where you pay money to sponsor an endangered or just an animal.
I think it's just you're sponsoring like animals in the zoo or in the wilderness
and elephants
retrieve
and shit.
Or something.
And like you're just paying money to sponsor them.
Yeah, fair
and
enough.
Take care of them, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Billy Connolly is a fucking great. He plays himself in it.
Yeah, he does.
You might remember him as the dad in Boondock Saints.
Yeah, or the dad in Brave.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of
he's a lot of dads.
He's an Irish dad.
Scott.
Oh, Scottish. Scottish dad. Their first one up is a hippo.
Yeah.
So guess who fucking bids? Obviously Robert Redford right away because she loves hippos and she tells him right away like, I love hippos. And he's like, 10,000, 30,000. And then who comes up with $1 million?
Woody Harrelson bringing that big mill.
One Woody Harrelson brings the $1 million, comes up. It starts raining. He comes up. Robert Redford's like, I'll give you guys a minute.
Yeah.
And a good line.
And the whole time Robert Redford's given, like, even when he first shows up, he gives him that look of like, it like all of a sudden it's gone from this fucking guy to like, this fucking guy?
Yeah, you get a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Holy shit, this guy, look at that. Yeah, surprised me.
Look at that, $1 million.
He surprised me this
like,
guy.
I was like expecting, again, I'm still, even at this point in the movie, I'm still like, Rob Redford's going to be like the bad guy.
He's going to be like $2 million.
Yeah, exactly. I'm expecting him to fuck with him because he knows he only has $1 million. But no, he's like, respect.
Oh shit, no shit.
Yeah.
He walks away. They have a great little change. I did like their exchange, which is like, she's like, I wanted you to have that $1 million.
I wanted you to have that hippo.
I wanted you to have the hippo. It's cute.
Yeah, it is cute. Although it is also, again, weird that, like, because I assume they had a whole day at the zoo, right? They didn't just go see hippos.
No. Yeah, like, hippos, it's a weird one that they chose.
Yeah.
Also, again, the memory that we saw was a hippo being, like, violent and vicious.
Yep.
And like screaming and shit.
I mean, we also do see early on the movie she's throwing stuff at him and hitting him. So maybe that's just their relationship.
Yeah, maybe that he's just into the toxic relationship. Yeah.
They just like a little violence in their sex.
He's like, oh, it reminds me of every time that we get in a crazy fight and you try to kill me.
Yeah,
that's
you
why
pull a knife on me.
Yeah, exactly.
You bite me with your giant front tusks.
Yeah, dislocate your jaw to
swallow me whole.
Bird that cleans your teeth. In a symbiotic relationship.
There is constantly feathers just poking out of Demi Moore's mouth.
Floating around Demi Moore's mouth. Yeah. But this, to me, was a logical endpoint.
I mean, to me, like I said, I thought the logical endpoint was either them being eaten alive by the guilt or it then ending with them separating.
Well, he signs the divorce papers in front of
again,
her.
Ending with Robert Redford just being like, ha-ha, yeah, gotcha. Exactly. Anyways, later, bitch.
Yeah. Like I was
driving away in his Rolls.
I was the devil the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Turns out I'm Al Pacino and I'm your father and you fucked your sister. And I think that's what Devil's Advocate was about.
I think so. Yeah. Right? It was just Keanu Reeves' fucking sister.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was.
Well, because it's a huge romantic gesture. And at this point in the movie's been boring for like 30 minutes.
Yeah, it gets real bad during this point.
And then I was just like, oh, okay. You know, like, when I was like, I remember the ending. I remember that part of the ending. Him being like, $1 million for the hippo. And then I was like, that's how it ends. Nope, that's not how it ends.
No. So then on the way back, so Demi Moore's still with Robert Redford at this point.
Yeah, he signs the divorce papers in front of her.
Yeah.
And then she gets back in this fucking car with Robert Shackelford.
Has a little twinkle in his eyes because he's gonna play a little Cupid.
Yeah. Yeah. It is so fucking stupid.
First of all, he does a little improv work. He dusts off his old yes ands with Shackelford.
Yeah.
And he's like, she's really the best of them, right? Tell her, Shackelford. And he's like, what? I mean, yes. And you sure did do that thing you're talking about.
Yeah. The best of the $1 million club. And
yeah, he's like, oh, yeah. How many are there? 20? Is 20 enough, boss?
Yeah. Yeah, like 24?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, yeah, the best. And then it's weird. It's weird to be like.
They swerved on me.
Good old Redford. Yeah. Look at Redford coming to the rescue.
Yeah, he's going to push these two crazy kids together.
I was like, he said the most hurtful fucking thing that he could come up to hurt her.
Yeah.
And I was like,
she understands it
for some stupid reason.
Because not only, because she's, while she does like, let me out, she like stops to like give him a kiss and like have that like moment.
And I think it's ridiculous and stupid.
I don't know what this movie wants.
It wants us to like Robert Redford.
Whatever,
could go fuck himself in this fucking movie. Because first of all, he could have been like, Shackelford, stop the car. This isn't right. Go to him.
Yeah.
But instead, he's like, you're the best of all the hookers that I've fucked.
Get out of here, old yeller. I never loved you.
And it also feels like, because you could read it the other way too, where he felt threatened by Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm not going to let this bitch hurt me. I'm going to hurt this bitch.
Yeah.
So guess what? You're the best of all the hookers that have had sex because you're a hooker, you dirty hooker. Like he kind of comes off that way too a little bit, you know? And if it wasn't for Shackelford's like improv thing that's kind of cute, I was like, oh, he's being a piece of shit to her because he feels threatened by her. But anyway,
which would have been more interesting.
Yeah, but she's like, oh, thank you for telling me that I'm the best hooker that you've had.
To push me away, because I understand what you're doing.
Which again.
And I want to go back to the man I love.
It's so fucking stupid and ridiculous.
Yeah, it's rough.
It does not make Robert Redford a better character. It makes the movie stupider. Dumb. Yeah, way dumber.
And then it ends with the most saccharine of bullshit where they meet on the pier that they've had flashbacks to.
Yeah.
And they hold hands.
And she's like, did I ever tell you I love you? And he's like, still? And she's like, forever and ever. And then they hold hands. And then that's how the fucking movie ends. And it is very stupid.
It's very stupid.
It is so, it was angry. I got angry.
I was a little angry.
I got angry at this fucking movie.
A little angry.
Because it could have gone so many other ways.
I mean, this is really what, because I remember growing up, the old kind of like, oh, well, you know, Hollywood ending.
Yeah.
Hollywood ending, got a happy ending, you know.
You have to have a happy ending.
Yeah.
It almost feels like, again, Robert Redford's contract said he couldn't be a bad guy.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, yeah, a lot of times, but not always, man. You got, like, Chinatown. You got other movies where there's no Hollywood ending all the time. Yeah. You got some fucking...
Not this one.
No, this is a Hollywood ending.
And, again, you could have had Robert Redford pull a real character move and just be like, you know what? I can see, and he tells Shackelford, she'll never see me the way she sees him. Right. And he could have told her that.
He could have told her that.
But instead, he makes up this very hurtful lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to again, like you said, to be like, get out of here.
Or, you know, he has that speech earlier about how he was too scared when he was a young man. He saw this beautiful girl and he was too scared to talk to her. And then she smiled.
Which wins her over in a bullshit way. Yeah. There was no way a chick would just fall for a dude for that stupid story.
But either way, like, it's a story about how, like, all right, well, when I was young, I didn't go for it, but now I'm rich and successful, so I just go for it all the time, but yeah. I still, you know, throughout all this, I haven't been able to find someone that makes yeah. me feel that way and makes me feel that love. And so it could be this interesting idea of, like...
Or him being like, I know what he's going through because yeah. that's what I felt.
Exactly, and, like, I really do believe in love, and I want love, and, like, I thought maybe I'd have that with you, but I clearly, like, he's the one you're supposed to be
yeah,
with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And... You know, even though, and again, it goes back to the earlier conversation about, like, money can't buy happiness, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, and I finally realized you guys were right. Money can't buy
exactly.
happiness.
Exactly. Nope.
I'm not happy. You're not happy. So go be happy.
Never fucking admits to that. And yeah. that would have been such a better fucking character move than this fucking bullshit.
Yep.
yeah, no, this movie's pretty stupid. That's why it was nominated for a bunch of Razzies.
Yep. It's 35 on Metacritic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which is correct.
And it made over $100 million and was incredibly successful. Made over like $250 million internationally.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was a super successful
movie. Or worldwide, rather.
And kept the good sex thriller train going.
That's
at
right.
this time, yeah.
We get Lolita a few years after this. We get, like we said, Unfaithful. And I think there was one more he did after that, or in that same time frame as well. But
yeah.
Anyways.
But, yeah.
Oh, was Basic Instinct him? I don't think it was him.
It wasn't him, but Basic Instinct is one.
No, because that's Verhoeven, isn't it?
Yeah, that's Verhoeven. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that.
We are going to talk about it.
Yeah.
So, anyway, how do we fix this movie?
I think we've already fixed it like 20 times.
By casting Ronnie Dangerfield.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you cast Ronnie Dangerfield. And, yeah, you cast Polly as his
Shackelford.
Man, his Shackelford.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, just recast the whole thing. Let's see. It's 1993. Who's a porn star in 93?
I mean, we already said Randy West, but Peter North was pretty big at the time.
Yeah.
If you don't know, Peter North is known for his ejaculate.
And he looks just like Rodney Dangerfield.
He does.
He's
look
about as close as the stunt double for the diving scenes in Back to
Oh, my
School.
God. Yeah, he's exactly yeah. like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it would be just sex scenes with Rodney Dangerfield coming like a lot.
Like a lot.
Like way more than a human being should
yeah.
come.
Yeah. So, yes.
Enough for you to get on your phone and be like, how do I come that much?
Yeah. Is there yeah. some special diet?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What does he do? A lot
how
of
long do I have to go without masturbating?
Exactly. A lot of celery. Yeah. Yeah. Stay hydrated, all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, and then he plays.
It always comes down to no more drinking, though, and I refuse.
Yeah, no, I will not. I will be hydrated 100 days in a row if I need to.
Yeah.
And will not stop drinking. And they've told me plenty of times. Doctors oh,
yeah.
have told me.
Yeah, many yeah. doctors.
Many doctors have told me to stop drinking. But no, I'm not going to do it. I'm yeah. going to do it. No. It's a fool's errand, I'd say.
Rodney Dangerfield in the Robert Redford role, instantly yeah. better.
You know, I do like that they did that nod back to it in Kingpin where he like shows up and he's like, I'll pay you. It was like Chris Elliott, right?
Oh, I think
he's,
so.
Yeah, he's yeah. like, I'll pay you $1 million to sleep with him. Yeah. Maybe you cast Woody Harrelson still in this part.
Yeah, yeah. But old Woody Harrelson?
Old Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
Older Woody Harrelson.
Older, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
Bill Murray? I'd say Bill Murray's still too charming.
Bill Murray could be a good Robert Redford part.
No, he's still too charming for Robert
Redford. Too charming for the yeah. Robert Redford part? He's too likable.
He's too likable.
You would never be like, he's just a rich
or
dick.
Or you get like current day Michael Shannon, and then you're just fucking terrified of him the entire time.
Yeah, the whole time.
It was like, that guy's going to murder somebody in like the next 5 seconds.
No matter what he does. And then when, yeah. at the end when he's like, you're the best. You're the best of the $1 million club. I'm like, oh my God.
He's about to murder
her. He's going to kill her. Yeah. They know.
Now I'm going to put your skin up on the wall and put yeah. it as number one best.
He's been looking at his fucking eyes.
Yeah.
He can't not look insane.
That's true.
His eyes are just all over the fucking place. Yeah. All right. We go. We get some old Woody Harrelson,
really
Michael Shannon.
I want to get a little more like intense. I want to get a little scary. Get a little more thriller in this thriller.
We bring in Casino era Sharon Stone.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the most intense Sharon Stone.
That is.
And it's maybe it's a 90s
film. Actually, or just instead of Woody Harrelson, if we're getting Sharon Stone, can we get Total Recall era Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Ah.
Then they can rekindle that relationship.
If it's a 90s, can we, instead of Sharon Stone, do Anna Nicole Smith?
Yes.
All right, cool. Because she's going to see you're going to see a lot of fake tits. A
lot of fake tits.
Like a whole bunch of fake tits.
A whole bunch of fake tits.
Yeah.
And we know she has no problem with sleeping with a rich old dude.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was kind of her thing for a long time.
That's a joke for old people.
Yep. That's right. Look it up. Look up what was that? Oh, actually, you can do Pamela Anderson if it's late 90s.
Even early. Wasn't like Home Improvement?
Yeah, but late 90s Pamela Anderson did nudity. Early 90s did. Yeah.
Well, because sex tape.
Because it's sex tape, yeah, exactly. And Playboy and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Or Sable from the WWE.
Oh, sure, sure, yeah. Any of the WWE girls, really.
All right, I think we appropriately talked a lot of 90s in this one. Because it's the first episode from the 90s.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man, their clothes are so big.
There's so many like blues and turquoise colors and like triangles with purple in them that fly around. Big, and their cell phones suits are gigantic.
Yeah, we don't actually see them, but yes.
They're not cell phones, but they're wireless phones or whatever are gigantic.
Do we see them? Does anyone have them?
Oliver Platt had it in this one. He was working out and he had it. That was a big one. Yeah,
yeah.
Zach's dad in Saved by the Bell famously has a phone that is the size of two grown man's arms.
Yeah.
That's how you would talk back then.
That is how you would talk.
And then, you know, let's throw in some other 90s shit. Let's go to Scream. Maybe some late 90s.
Yeah, sure. Nirvana.
And then Nirvana. MC Hammer.
MC Hammer.
All right.
Yeah.
We fixed it by upping the 90s. Yeah. early MTV and early Nickelodeon together.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Awesome. Yeah. So we fixed it.
Yeah, we totally, totally nailed that shit. Welcome to the 90s, y'all.
Welcome to the 90s.
Welcome to Basic Instinct. Or not Basic Instinct. It's Indecent Proposal. We're going to talk about Basic Instinct. I'm thinking about it because it's coming up.
Yep.
But next week, we're going in a very different direction.
Yeah, we're also going late 90s,
into the 90s, two legendary performers coming together for the first time, I think?
Probably. We'll find out by the IMDb trivia that
we'll figure it out. Yeah. It's Analyze This.
Yeah, Billy Crystal and
old Bobby De Niro.
Old Robert De Niro before that's all he was doing.
Yeah, before all he was doing was making fun of what he used to do when he was good.
Yeah, exactly.
Did good movies.
Yeah, yeah. When he made iconic roles.
Yeah.
Yep. So until then.
Until then, I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
Quick reminder, patreon.com/blockbusternostalgia. Blockbuster Nostalgia on Instagram. BlockbusterNostalgia@gmail.com for your questions, concerns, comments, just any nonsense you want to hit us up with. Until next week, good night, good journey.
We love you.
Big thanks to sponsor of the show, People's Choice Video. People's Choice Video. It doesn't exist anymore. Yeah.
Somebody bought The Shadow today, and I was like, fuck, I forgot we had
God
The Shadow.
Damn it.
I would have bought that movie. I haven't seen that movie forever.
So cool.
I know.
God, Alec Baldwin.
I know. When you mentioned it, I was like, that's right, The Shadow.
Yeah, it's a great fucking movie.
Damn it.
Cool. Thanks to People's Choice Video, though, for sponsoring our first 100-and-something episodes.
Yeah, the 80s. Sponsoring the 80s.
Sponsoring the 80s. Well, gone but not forgotten.
No.